Welcome to our deep dive today. We're going to be exploring a book you brought to the table. It's called Enzyme Nutrition.
Oh, okay.
And I have to say, even as someone who really loves learning about health and different things, this one piqued my interest.
Yeah.
Most of us, when we think about nutrition, we think about vitamins and minerals, right?
Right. Absolutely.
But we don't always talk about enzymes, those little worker molecules.
That's true.
They don't always get the spotlight.
They're often overlooked. And yet they're absolutely fundamental to how our bodies function.
So our mission today is to unpack this book, Enzyme Nutrition, and see what it reveals about how these often forgotten enzymes in our food might impact our health.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the book in front of you.
I do.
So let's get into it.
Okay.
First things first, can we make sure we're all on the same page? What exactly are enzymes?
So imagine them as tiny, hyper-efficient machines inside every cell in our bodies.
Okay.
They're special types of proteins that speed up chemical reactions, kind of like catalysts.
Okay.
And without them, many of the processes that keep us alive would happen way too slowly.
So they're like the behind-the-scenes crew,
mm-hmm.
making sure that the whole production of life runs smoothly.
Exactly.
I'm already seeing why this is important.
Yeah.
But enzyme nutrition digs deeper than just the basic definition, right? It talks about different types of enzymes.
Absolutely. The book highlights three main types. Metabolic enzymes, the ones that run our bodies like a well-oiled machine.
Okay.
Digestive enzymes that break down the food we eat. And then there are these fascinating food enzymes, the ones already present in raw foods.
Food enzymes, that's the part that really piqued my interest. So they're like these little helpers that are already in our food, ready to get to work on digestion.
That's the idea. And it's more interesting than you might think.
Okay.
Enzyme Nutrition introduces this concept of the food enzyme stomach, a special area in the upper part of the stomach that was once considered pretty much useless. Turns out it's where those food enzymes from raw foods can get a head start on breaking things down before our own digestive enzymes really kick in.
Wait, hold on. Our stomachs have different sections?
Yeah.
I always pictured it as one big churning vat.
It's a common misconception,
right?
But think of it this way. The food enzyme stomach is like a holding area, a gentler environment where food enzymes can pre-treat our food before it's exposed to the more intense digestive juices lower down.
Oh.
The book actually gives some great examples from nature to illustrate this.
I'm all ears for a good nature analogy.
We'll take whales, for example. They have these massive four stomachs where the prey they swallow sits for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's not being digested by the whale's own enzymes right away. Instead, the prey's own enzymes get to work breaking it down first. It's like a built-in pre-digestion system.
So just like that bucket of krill, in a whale's belly is getting pre-digested. A salad sitting in our food enzyme stomach is getting broken down by its UWN enzymes before our body has to do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. The book also talks about how birds have crops that act as pre-digestion chambers for seeds. The enzymes in the seeds multiply, and their inhibitors are neutralized before moving to the stomach.
Wow.
It's amazing how nature has these elegant solutions.
Okay, that's pretty mind-blowing.
Right.
But here's the question that popped into my head. We're talking about raw foods.
Right.
Most of us aren't exactly sitting down to a plate of raw meat.
Yeah.
Or a bowl full of unsprouted seeds every day.
Right.
So
that's the key point Enzyme Nutrition is driving at. It suggests that this is where the modern cooked diet might be missing a trick.
So what happens to these food enzymes when we cook our food?
Enzyme Nutrition makes a pretty bold statement. Prolonged heat above 118 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
That's about 48 degrees Celsius. Destroys 100% of the enzymes in food.
Wow.
And this is where the book really starts to challenge conventional thinking about nutrition.
Okay, so no more seared steak. Is that what the book is advocating?
Not necessarily.
I don't
think. Not about going completely raw, but rather about understanding the potential consequences of an all-cooked diet. Okay.
Remember those metabolic enzymes?
Uh-huh.
The ones keeping our bodies running smoothly.
Yes.
Enzyme Nutrition argues that when we're always eating food without enzymes, our bodies have to work overtime, producing more digestive enzymes.
Mm.
And that could be using up resources.
Okay.
That would be better spent on other things, like making those crucial metabolic enzymes.
So our bodies have a limited supply of enzyme power, so to speak.
That's the concept Enzyme Nutrition introduces.
Mm.
Enzyme potential. It's a finite resource. And the choices we make about our food can either help us conserve that potential or deplete it.
And overdoing it on cooked food could lead to what, exactly?
The book uses a rather dramatic term, metabolic enzyme bankruptcy.
Metabolic enzyme bankruptcy.
It's not a medical diagnosis, but a way of illustrating what might happen if we constantly overtax our digestive systems and deplete those enzyme reserves.
Metabolic enzyme bankruptcy. That sounds a little ominous. But is there any evidence to support this idea? Enzyme Nutrition cites some thought-provoking research. One study looked at animals on cooked versus raw diets and found a potential link between cooked food and smaller brain size.
Hold on. Smaller brains.
Yeah.
That's a pretty significant finding. But how solid is the science behind this?
It's important to note that this is just one study, and more research is definitely needed.
Sure.
But it does raise an important question. Could eating more raw foods help us conserve our enzyme potential and support overall health, even potentially brain health? That's the intriguing idea that Enzyme Nutrition puts forward.
Okay, I'm definitely seeing why this book caught your attention, this whole concept of enzyme potential and how our food choices impact it. It's a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
And I know Enzyme Nutrition goes even deeper, exploring the role of enzyme inhibitors.
It does.
What can you tell us about those?
Enzyme inhibitors are compounds found mainly in seeds, like nuts, beans, and grains.
Okay.
They essentially keep those seeds dormant until the conditions are right for sprouting.
Makes sense. You wouldn't want a seed trying to sprout in the middle of winter.
Exactly. But here's where it gets tricky for us humans.
Okay.
If we eat a lot of raw seeds with their inhibitors still intact, they could potentially tie up our enzymes and prevent them from doing their jobs.
So like they're putting a temporary hold on those little worker molecules.
Exactly.
Okay. So are you saying we should never eat nuts and seeds raw? That seems a little extreme.
Enzyme Nutrition offers a couple of solutions to this dilemma, both of which are pretty fascinating.
Okay.
One is germination. You know how squirrels bury nuts for the winter?
Right.
Well, they're instinctively doing something quite brilliant. When those nuts sprout, the germination process neutralizes the inhibitors, making the enzymes more available.
So those little sprouts we often see on salads are actually doing a lot more than just adding a bit of crunch.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the other solution the book suggests is using enzyme supplements. Taking supplemental enzymes could help neutralize those inhibitors, so you can enjoy nuts and seeds without worrying about depleting your own enzyme reserves.
So sprout or supplement, those are the two main options.
Those are the two that Enzyme Nutrition emphasizes.
Okay.
But the overall message is about being more aware of how we prepare our food and the potential impact it has on our enzyme intake.
Got it.
It's food for thought, so to speak.
This is definitely making me reconsider my food choices. We've covered a lot of ground, from the different types of enzymes to this whole idea of enzyme potential and those intriguing enzyme inhibitors. But I know the book dives even deeper, exploring the role of enzymes in specific health conditions.
It does.
Before we get there, can you give us a little preview? What are some of the areas Enzyme Nutrition delves into?
The book explores balanceal connections between enzyme deficiencies and a whole range of conditions.
Okay.
Obesity, arthritis, allergies, even cancer.
Wow.
It's a lot to unpack. But it all ties back to the central idea of enzyme potential and how we can support our bodies by making mindful food choices.
It sounds fascinating, and I'm definitely eager to learn more. This deep dive has already shifted my perspective on food and health. It's not just about what we eat, but also about how we prepare it and how those choices impact the delicate balance of enzymes within our bodies.
It's a perspective that challenges conventional thinking. And it's one that Enzyme Nutrition presents with compelling arguments and fascinating examples.
I'm hooked.
Yeah.
Let's take a deeper dive into those specific health conditions in the next part of our exploration.
Okay.
All right, let's jump back into this fascinating world of enzymes. We've laid the groundwork. Now it's time to get specific. You mentioned Enzyme Nutrition explores the potential role of enzymes in certain health issues, things like obesity, arthritis, allergies, even cancer.
Yeah.
It's a lot to cover. So where should we start?
Well, obesity is something that a lot of people struggle with, and Enzyme Nutrition offers a unique perspective. It challenges that conventional wisdom of a calorie is a calorie, suggesting there might be a difference between the calories from raw food versus cooked food.
Wait, so it's not just about how much EH we eat, but the type E of calorie itself.
Yeah.
How could that be?
Think back to what we discussed about enzyme potential.
Okay.
Remember how our bodies might have to work harder to digest cooked food because it lacks those helpful food enzymes?
Right, and how that overuse of digestive enzymes could be pulling resources away from those important metabolic enzymes.
Exactly. Enzyme nutrition proposes that constantly overtaxing our digestive system like this could potentially lead to imbalances in other glands that play a role in regulating our metabolism, things like the pituitary and pancreas.
So it's like a chain reaction,
right?
Potentially affecting our hormones and how our bodies process food.
Right. The book also highlights the detrimental effects of refined sugar, pointing out how it provides empty calories devoid of enzymes and essential nutrients, and yet we're wired to crave it, which can throw our whole system out of whack.
It really makes you think twice about reaching for that sugary snack, doesn't it?
It does.
But let's shift gears a bit. What about arthritis? What insights does enzyme nutrition offer about that?
So the book links arthritis to a potential deficiency in digestive enzymes.
Okay.
It suggests that if our bodies are constantly struggling to break down cooked enzyme-deficient food, it could lead to inflammation, especially in the joints.
That makes a lot of sense. If our bodies are constantly overworked just to digest food, it stands to reason that other areas might suffer.
Yeah.
So what does enzyme nutrition suggest we do about it?
One of the key recommendations is supplementing with digestive enzymes.
Okay.
The idea is that by providing those missing enzymes, we can lessen the burden on our bodies.
Yeah.
And potentially alleviate some of the symptoms of arthritis.
So it's about providing external support to help our bodies do what they do best, which is heal and function optimally.
That's a great way to put it. And then there's the topic of allergies.
Okay.
Enzyme nutrition takes a rather intriguing approach to this, too.
I'm all ears. Allergies are so common these days.
Right.
And we're often told to just avoid trigger foods completely. But what's the book's perspective?
Well, it proposes that gradually increasing your intake of the allergy-triggering foods, but in their raw form, might actually help build tolerance and even address underlying imbalances.
Wait, so expose yourself to the very thing you're allergic to. That seems a bit counterintuitive.
It does go against conventional wisdom. But the book argues that allergies could be a sign that our bodies aren't digesting certain foods properly, perhaps due to a lack of the specific enzymes needed to break them down.
Okay.
By slowly introducing these foods in their raw form, we might be giving our bodies a chance to adapt and produce those missing enzymes.
So it's like a gentle training process, gradually introducing those foods and giving our bodies a chance to catch up.
Right.
So wouldn't that be risky?
The book emphasizes that this needs to be done with caution,
right,
ideally under the guidance of a healthcare professional.
Sure.
And it's important to start very small,
yeah,
and increase the amount gradually, paying close attention to your body signals.
It's fascinating to think that something as simple as changing how we prepare our food could potentially make a difference with allergies. This deep dive is really making me rethink everything I thought I knew about food and health.
Yeah, it's about shifting our perspective from just looking at ingredients to understanding the intricate processes happening within our bodies.
Okay.
And speaking of complex processes, we can't avoid the topic of cancer.
Right.
It's a sensitive subject, but I'm curious to know what enzyme nutrition has to say about it.
Or me too.
Yeah.
It's a heavy topic. But if enzymes are so crucial for overall health, it makes sense to explore any potential connections. What does the book propose?
Enzyme nutrition suggests a potential link between long-term enzyme deficiencies and the development of cancer.
Okay.
The idea is that a chronic lack of enzymes, coupled with a diet heavy in cooked and processed foods, could create an environment in the body that's more vulnerable to disease.
So it's not that enzyme deficiency directly causes cancer, but it might be a contributing factor.
That's the idea the book explores. It's like the foundation of good health is weakened, making us more susceptible to all sorts of imbalances, including cancer.
Okay.
It's important to note that enzyme nutrition stresses the need for more research in this area, especially using spontaneous animal cancer models, before drawing any definitive conclusions.
That makes sense. Cancer research is incredibly complex.
Uh-huh.
And there are so many factors involved.
Absolutely. But what enzyme nutrition does offer is a thought-provoking perspective on the importance of a holistic approach to health, including a diet rich in raw foods, and potentially supplemental enzymes as part of a broader strategy for cancer prevention.
This deep dive is really highlighting the interconnectedness of our body's systems. It's not just about individual nutrients or vitamins.
Right.
It's about understanding how all these elements work together, including enzymes.
And enzyme nutrition backs up its claims with examples from cultures known for longevity, like the Eskimo, who traditionally ate a diet high in raw meat and fat. This doesn't mean we all need to switch to a raw diet, but it does raise interesting questions about the potential benefits of incorporating more raw foods into our meals.
It's fascinating to think that something as simple as eating more raw fruits and vegetables could potentially have such a profound impact on our health and longevity. This deep dive has definitely shifted my perspective. I'm starting to see food in a whole new light.
That's the power of exploring new ideas and being open to different perspectives. Enzyme nutrition certainly challenges conventional thinking and offers a compelling case for paying more attention to those often overlooked enzymes.
It does. This whole concept of enzyme potential is something I'm going to be thinking about a lot.
Yeah.
But I know there's more to cover. Enzyme nutrition doesn't just present these ideas.
It doesn't.
It also offers practical advice, right?
Absolutely. The book goes beyond theory and provides specific guidance on how to put these concepts into action.
Well, I'm all about actionable steps. What are some of the key takeaways from enzyme nutrition when it comes to making changes in our lives?
That's exactly what we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive. We'll delve into the practical side of enzyme nutrition and discover what steps you can take to boost your own enzyme potential and support your overall health.
All right, after that deep dive into the science and the potential health connections, I'm ready to talk about what we can actually do with all this knowledge.
Yeah.
It's all very well and good to understand the theory of enzyme nutrition, but I'm betting you, like me, want some actionable steps that we can take.
You're absolutely right. Enzyme nutrition doesn't just leave you with a bunch of fascinating concepts.
Okay.
It actually offers a roadmap for how to incorporate these ideas into your life.
Perfect, because as intriguing as all of this is, I'm all about practicality. So what's step one on this enzyme boosting journey?
The foundation, as the book emphasizes, is really shifting how we view food. It's not just fuel or a collection of vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
It's about appreciating the vital role enzymes play in how our bodies function.
Okay, so mindset shift check. But in terms of tangible changes, where do we begin?
The most obvious and perhaps the easiest place to start is increasing your intake of raw fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
Think vibrant salads, fresh smoothies, maybe some homemade juices. Even adding a side of sliced raw veggies to your cooked meals can make a difference.
That seems manageable.
Yeah.
I'm already a salad enthusiast, so that's a good starting point. But what about those enzyme inhibitors we talked about? Do I need to become a full-time sprout farmer now?
Sprouting is fantastic, but let's be realistic. It can be time-consuming.
Right.
Enzyme nutrition acknowledges this and suggests considering enzyme supplements, especially if you eat a lot of grains, beans, or nuts in your diet.
Okay, so supplements are on the table, but are all enzyme supplements created equal?
The book highlights the importance of choosing supplements that contain a broad spectrum of enzymes.
Okay.
You'll want to look for ones that include proteases, which break down proteins, amylases for carbohydrates, and lipases for fats. Think of it like giving your body a well-rounded team of digestive helpers.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Anything else to keep in mind when navigating the world of enzyme supplements?
It's also crucial to choose supplements that are formulated to survive the acidic environment of your stomach.
Oh, okay.
You want them to reach the small intestine where they can really get to work. Look for reputable brands that use high-quality ingredients and have clear labeling about their formulation.
Great tips.
Yeah.
I'm already feeling more equipped to make informed choices. But all these changes, even the seemingly simple ones, can feel daunting. What about those of us who might feel a little overwhelmed?
That's where enzyme nutrition really shines.
Okay.
It emphasizes the power of gradual change. This isn't about being perfect or overhauling your entire life overnight. Start small. Incorporate one or two raw foods into your daily routine. Maybe try sprouting a small batch of lentils or almonds once a week.
Okay.
And see how you feel.
I love that approach. It's about progress, not perfection. Baby steps, listening to your body, and building from there.
Exactly, and paying attention to how you feel. After eating certain foods, if you notice any digestive discomfort or other reactions, it's a sign to adjust your approach. It's about tuning in to what your body is telling you.
It's a great reminder that we're all unique. Mm-hmm. And what works for one person might not work for another. There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to health and nutrition.
That's one of the key takeaways from enzyme nutrition. It provides a framework for understanding. But the real learning comes from experimenting, observing, and finding what works best for you.
This deep dive has been such a journey. We've gone from those basic building blocks of enzymes all the way to considering the potential impact on our health and well-being.
It has been quite a journey.
And we've explored practical strategies that you can implement in your own life. Remember, this is just the starting point. Enzyme nutrition offers a wealth of information.
It does.
But the real power lies in how you apply it. I'm walking away from this deep dive with a newfound appreciation for those little worker molecules, enzymes. I'm definitely inspired to make some changes in my own life, starting with incorporating more raw foods and maybe giving those enzyme supplements a try.
That's fantastic to hear. Remember, this is a journey of exploration and discovery. Listen to your body experiment. And most importantly, enjoy the process of nourishing yourself with delicious enzyme-rich foods.
It's been a pleasure unpacking all this with you. I always learned so much from our deep dives, and this one has been particularly insightful.
The pleasure's all mine, and to you listening, thank you for joining us on this exploration into the world of enzyme nutrition. We hope you've gained some valuable insights and feel inspired to embark on your own journey toward optimal health and well-being. Until next time, keep diving deep.